Is it red now? Is it always red?
Yes. No, it's always been red.
I thought it was blue. Fuck. Sorry.
Colorblind SOB.
And go.
Yeah. Christmas, Christmas, blah, blah, blah. Christmas songs.
Just do the business.
Just do the business. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is completely free. Cody takes all the joy out of everything. I was singing my own Christmas song.
You could sing the intro, this business intro, like a Christmas song.
Nope.
Okay.
Can't do that.
Fine.
Like I was saying, this
is a free podcast. La 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 la. On the first day of podcast Christmas, Mike did the fucking business.
Go to Facebook.
Joe can't get it right, so Mike, go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is completely free, so please do us a couple favors. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Second, head on over to iTunes, hit subscribe on it. That way you get the podcast automatically when it becomes available every Friday morning. After you subscribe, go on over, stay in iTunes, and write us a review. That would be awesome. We haven't had a review in a little bit. We need more. So more ratings and more reviews would be fantastic. Just kind of all you have to do is say nice things about us in however many amount of letters that you want. And that's a review. Joe, you're going to school. If you had to write a review about this podcast, what would it sound like? Give them an idea. Go.
It would say, these guys are awesome. They're funny. And they know their shit.
No. So you're not going to school for anything to do with like English or literature or anything like that? Like, you're not going to be a writer? Because that was awful. Cody, you're a writer. If you had to write a review on this podcast, what would it say?
This podcast is tremendous.
Ooh.
The chemistry between the three guys on this, and sometimes their special guests, just make me feel like I'm one of their friends.
See that? That's why you suck at doing anything writing-wise, and he's way better than you at it.
That's why I usually
So why are you even trying to write a fucking review about this podcast? What is wrong with you? Stick to science, you space nerd. After you write a review, you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod
in stereo. And yeah, that's news. There's other apps for Android and stuff. So basically, I don't know anybody that has an Android phone.
Isn't it like Podcatcher or something like that?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I have an iPhone because, you know, I'm an adult. So yeah, there's that. All right. So let's get into it, fellas. Cody?
Comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And today is weird.
Nope.
All right.
It's almost Christmas time.
Go fuck yourselves, Christmas.
I still want the presents.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Cody got his presents, by the way, podcast world.
I did.
It was pretty nice of him.
I haven't gotten Cody and Joe's presents yet.
Mine are in the mail. They're coming.
For me?
Yeah.
It's in the mail. I know what I'm going to get you. I just haven't gotten it yet. I'm lazy.
Big old picture of his balls.
You want a picture of me bulldogging it in an 8x10?
No.
It'll be at an angle where you're not sure if it's me or not. But
Cody,
the birthmark's gonna be very, very
you have a
obvious.
Birthmark?
Yeah, right on my butthole.
Okay.
No. What? Anyway,
I think that is your butthole.
Oh, was that what that thing is? Science. So yeah, presents for us now, for Cody later. What did I get you last year?
Was that the card?
I think I just got you a gift card.
No, but the card that you scratched out all that shit and wrote.
Yeah, I got him a happy birthday to young girl card and crossed out all the girl stuff and made it a Christmas card. And then because Cody has the OCDs, I got him a bunch of Skittles and I separated for him in individual containers, which was cheap but very time consuming, and I don't think I'm going to do that again.
It's the thought that count. That fucking card was hilarious. I still have it somewhere.
But this year, Cody hooked us up. It's kind of in theme with our podcast.
With some comics.
Got me a comic book. He got me the Winter Soldier
and I got hardcover. Saga Volume 1 hardcover.
And Mike's is actually the deluxe edition, so it has both parts in it, too.
Ooh.
So it's got the original story and then the follow-up story.
It's got two parts, Mike.
Bucky. And then, obviously, Joe's is the first 19 issues? 18 issues? 19 issues.
19 issues, I think.
First 19. Eh, whatever.
Some hardcore gangster ass art.
Yep. Saga.
My favorite part about the trades is at the end you always get like the
extra stuff. You ain't seen nothing until you see that one.
And stuff like that, like crazy shit.
That's got some awesome shit in the back of it.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't wait to tear into it.
It's cool because in that one, in the Saga one, it shows Fiona, it shows her process. Mm-hmm. Super dope. Super dope.
All right.
Yeah.
So, we had assignments last week, correct?
Yeah, we did.
Joe, you want to talk about yours? What was yours? And a brief
review.
The review of it.
So mine was the BB shit. Well, all of ours BB were BB shit.
He said BB shit. I already cussed, dude. I cussed like 30 seconds into it.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Like I next week, guys, I'm going to beat my record of 26 minutes.
Our holiday episode.
Yeah.
Dude,
we're going to keep it super holiday friendly.
Are we going to record on Wednesday?
Is Wednesday Christmas?
That's Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's right. We'll be doing stuff with families.
Man, my family celebrates Christmas on Christmas Eve. I don't know about you guys.
So does mine. So
we'll figure it out. We'll look at our schedules.
I'm off Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday.
This is something that we could probably work out not on the podcast.
Sorry. Are we recording? Who hit the record button? This is bullshit. Anyways, Joe.
So all of our shows were BBC shows.
Yeah, it's this BBC week. Theme.
And I got the show Luther, which I've never watched before. That's why we're doing this.
What does BBC stand for?
British Broadcasting Company.
Okay.
Is it company or channel?
No, I think it's...
Maybe know your shit before you open your mouth, Joe.
Oh, no, it's got to be company.
It's got to be company because they do other stuff.
Too, yeah. Yeah, Mike, shut up.
Yeah, Mike, shut up.
So, Joe,
so,
how was Luther?
It was actually a really good show. It starts off in such a way that you're in the middle of him, like, aggressively interrogating this guy. So you're like, what the fuck is going on? Apparently this guy had kidnapped a girl, and he's just trying to, well, multiple ones, but the one that he was looking for right now in the show is still alive somewhere. And so it's just weird to jump into that, and then you go into the rest of the show. They find out where the girl is, and you're just introduced to that he's kind of one of those, like, you know, rogue cop type guys who just, you know, does what he needs to do to get the job done, even though it's not.
Yeah, put that on a fucking poster, yo. I mean, it was
he just
worrying,
does
but...
what he needs to get the job done. High voltage. I don't know why. So it was a good movie, or not a movie. It was a good show. Like all BBC shows these days seem to be really good shows. I found it a little weird because they immediately after that you're thrown into the next quote unquote case, but the case takes place like a couple of months after the last one because he got put on probation, but he got suspended. Yeah. Cause they're doing an investigation onto whether he intentionally threw the guy off of a catwalk and knocked him out into a coma.
He didn't intentionally throw him off.
He just didn't save
him.
Yeah, exactly. But so then you find out that that he's back on the force. They've said that he wasn't to blame for any of that stuff. And you're introduced into now what the show's about, which is this girl who supposedly kills her family. And I say supposedly, which you find out literally probably like 10 minutes later, that she actually did. She's some super intelligent mathematician. She's working on black holes and stuff. But she found that she can actually get away with murder because she hated her parents. And she's just one of those like super intelligent villains. And that's pretty much where the rest of the show goes. Luther, John Luther, knows that she killed him. He just needs to prove it. But she's so smart that she kind of thought of everything. And so he's having a tough time trying to prove it. So you can already see, I haven't watched the second episode, so you can already see that that's going to be his main antagonist going forward. But it, I don't know, to me it just kind of was thrown together a little bit too fast. Like, they could have spread out the fact that she went from the innocent victim to at the end the mastermind criminal. They could have probably spread that out over a couple of shows. But
are you saying that because you're conditioned to how American TV works and that's how they usually do it?
Because,
or is it just seems choppy?
It seems choppy because you got Sherlock.
Yeah.
In the first episode...
Let's not jump ahead. I'm just kidding.
Well, in the first episode, it seems like a lot of the show is just going to be, you know, this is what happens this week, this is what happened this week. But as you keep going, you'll find out there's another overarching story behind everything. So, like, if this was more like that, where there was an overarching story of this
How
girl...
How do you know there's not?
And there could be, but it just feels like they just are kind of like, and this is his antagonist. And you're like, oh, okay.
Show enough.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's a good show. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Just going to regurgitate on the podcast. That's cool.
Joe needs a
new segment. What did the guys eat today? Go.
I had poor man spaghetti.
Poor man spaghetti.
Well, think about what that would be.
What?
Spaghetti and ketchup?
Yeah.
Not bad. What
did
is spaghetti?
Do you really have that?
Yeah. What is spaghetti?
It's not a thing.
It is a thing. It's called it's poor man spaghetti.
Have you ever eaten
ramen with ketchup?
It's, I mean, I have not ramen noodles, but actual spaghetti noodles.
Never heard of poor man's
spaghetti?
Really?
You know what's poor man's spaghetti? It's just spaghetti because that shit's super cheap to make anyway.
Because you can't afford the sauce.
So you buy Heinz. No, that's awful.
But you already have ketchup.
Yeah. It's poor man's spaghetti.
Heat this shit up.
Out of the three of us, if I'm saying you shouldn't eat something, don't eat it, dude.
What did you have?
Tonight?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Grilled chicken?
And?
That's it, just grilled chicken.
Oh, kind of boring.
Loser.
Yeah. Cody? Sorry. Guess I could have had poor man's chicken and pour ketchup all over it.
That's still just chicken.
It's still just chicken.
Yeah. With ketchup on it. It's not like you don't need ketchup. You don't need a red sauce to make chicken.
Yeah.
Whatever. Cody?
It's chicken cacciatore. Poor man style.
Poor man style.
I haven't eaten dinner yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, so there you go. He's not going to eat shitty, gross spaghetti with ketchup.
But he's had it before, and he's heard of it, unlike some people.
Is it gross?
It's disgusting.
Yeah, why would you eat something that's disgusting? Everyone here
it's
agrees
not disgusting.
It's disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
It is disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
It's less gross to eat Top Ramen.
Top Ramen's good, though.
Top Ramen is good, though.
Yeah, but it's like
and it's,
8
it's
cents
a dollar
package.
For 10 of them.
8 cents a package. It's a little more expensive than 8 cents a package.
Because it's 10 cents a package.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I must have had a coupon. All I'm saying is don't eat that ever again, dude. That's bad, man.
It's not bad.
You're not a homeless person.
I know I'm not a homeless person.
God damn.
But there are some times where you're like, I have nothing else to eat.
No, I have never in my life been like, I'm going to boil up some noodles and pour ketchup on it because I'm a weirdo.
You need to try it sometime.
No, I'm not going to try it.
You might actually like it.
Because I have stuff in my fridge that I could eat like a normal human being.
When you get to the point.
Not some goddamn savage like you.
When you get to the point where there's nothing else in your fridge, try it.
I grocery shop, so.
Oh, look at me. I grocery shop.
Oh, look at me. I do things that adults do. Fuck you. Your stupid jacket.
So Luther wasn't bad. I'm not sure if I'm going to. I'll probably eventually down the line, because everybody knows how much I watch TV shows and keep up on things. I don't very much. I'm still halfway through season 2 of The Shield and halfway through season 1 of Arrow. So
I want a little bit more understanding than halfway through season 2 of The Shield.
I heard Shield it's a pretty good show. So I'm going to watch half a season every other year. See how it goes.
Half of that I'm going to blame on my Cox on-demand service.
Umbacocks.
The reason why is because for some reason with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they would post the next episode, the newest episode, but every time you clicked on it, it would just play the first episode. So, like, I could never get into watching it, you know, when it first aired, but I would go to watch it on demand, click on the episode, and it would play the first episode. So I was like, what the fuck?
Speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., everything had their mid-season finale last week.
Yep.
And they were all awesome.
Yep.
Did anybody catch the Constantine mid-season?
I did.
I haven't. I'm behind on Constantine.
But the show is actually really good, but the mid-season finale, goddamn. Right?
Seriously, like, dude, like, unless they find a Lazarus pit, I'm going to spoil it for right now. Does not look good for him.
And that bitch.
Yeah. Talk about cuntery. Like, this lady was on the border of being full-blown cunt. Like, I kind of get it, because she wanted to save babies, but do you have to shoot him in the gut?
Yeah.
When a crazy-ass fucking animal's about to come
He just needs to eat you. Oh.
She said that, and I was like, oh, that bitch got a gun.
Yep.
Pa! I was like, oh, Constantine, you dumb, man. Don't do that.
And then they showed the previews for the next episode, which is, January, February, or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, unlike most shows, it really wasn't a mid-season finale. They just chose that one to be the mid-season.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we're gonna
everybody else is doing this mid-season finale thing. We've already shot our full season, but we're going to do it anyway. Because stuff.
Because stuff.
So, Luther, thumbs up, thumbs down?
It's a really good thumbs up.
That you complain about a lot? That's weird. Cody.
Hey, I can do that.
Cody.
Yes.
We're podcasting.
I'm podcasting too.
Okay.
You had?
The Musketeers.
Yeah.
Not the Asian one, but the BBC one. Like, so
there's an Asian one on Netflix. Weird. Like ninjas and shit.
It was good.
Musketeers.
Production value is actually better than I was
expecting right?
Because a lot of times those ones, like, they're like, outfits are good, but like, it's in a building the entire time. But like, they have
full, to be fair, like, they shot that in Europe most likely, so they probably for sure just went to on location.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we already got all these castles.
But
it was
like a lot of those ones, like there's another show I watch on there called Copper, and you can tell, like, especially the first season, it's real low budget because there's inside of one room or like down this alley, and you can say you can tell it's on a soundstage. This was like shot on big ass locations, like with buildings and stuff. There was indoor stuff, but you could see shit outside. Like, you could see, like, it might have been a backdrop, but it was like a well made set, which is really good. But to the actual show, it was good. The first episode had the same issue a lot of pilot shows do. Joe was talking about with his, where you get to the culmination of a certain point of it, part of the whole thing, by the end of the episode. So you have a closure on that one thing, where they could have used that story to go completely out into the entire, because the first season is only 10 episodes long. So you could stretch that main thing all
the
way to
the end.
How long
are the episodes?
They're an hour.
Yeah.
They're an hour.
Yeah. 52 to 56 minutes, if I remember correctly.
As are with, like, a lot of these British shows are just one straight hour long.
Yeah.
Sherlock is 88 minutes.
Well, the first one, that's right. They did do an hour and a half long once. Yeah.
Yeah, Sherlock, all of them were like
mini movies.
Yeah, ridiculousness. so it was good. It was funny, though, because if anyone who's listening has seen the Charlie Sheen one.
Which, if you haven't,
come on,
watch it.
Yeah. It's funny to see exactly how much. I don't know if there's a main story. I mean, obviously, the main story of it is D'Artagnan is the youngest who joins the Musketeers late. And the Charlie Sheen one. I keep saying Charlie Sheen, but there's more people in it. But, you know.
The Oliver Platt one.
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland, Chris
That's
O'Donnell.
Right. Kiefer Sutherland was in that movie.
I mean. Come on now. So, but
they should have just used the same cast from Young Guns. the exact same cast, I think that would have been fantastic.
But Oliver Platt wouldn't have been in it.
I know. It could have been Lou Diamond Phillips instead. Tell me you wouldn't watch that movie.
We're in France. No one speaks French. And there's this Indian guy. So, yeah, that's interesting. But the funny thing was, like, I'm just watching this first episode. You literally see correlations with the main story. Because, obviously, it's the Musketeer, so it's not going to be a different, very, very different story. But then, like, just the, like, little things like Aramos is, like, in the bed of a married woman, and the husband gets home, and he has to jump out the window and all this stuff. But, like, a lot more drama. There's not nearly as much comedy in it. But it was good. Cardinal Glick, the Cardinal, is played by Peter Capaldi. He's a sumbitch in it. The one thing that got me, though, in production value, thinking it again, is the interior of the palace, I think is what it's supposed to be, where, like, the king and the queen are. Not that, like, grand. It was just, like, a room with, like, a lifted thing with their chairs on it. So I don't know if that was, like, they're in Paris, so, like, there's got to be a castle or, like, you know, something they're in. It just didn't seem that, like, that big of a set. I don't know how to say it, but...
No, I know what you're saying, because I'm remembering back to the couple of episodes that I did watch. When they did that, like, you know, palace shots, it was very, like, for what I saw, it was very close...
Yeah,
shots. You know, you didn't really see much of what was going on in the
big,
background.
Yeah, it wasn't a big.
They probably
house.
Didn't have a whole lot of it. But then when they would go back to the monastery,
yeah,
you'd suddenly see like massive, yeah, you know, scenery and giant halls inside the monastery.
Crazy.
Yeah,
but like I said, so I don't know if that's like if the castle's like under construction or if it's not built yet or what it is. But it was good. No, it was. I was hoping it'd be more of a mystery because like. They, like I said, in it, they jump right through the story. Like, boom, get to the end of that main story of D'Artagnan's father being killed and who did it. But I was hoping more of a mystery, like, to it, like, to draw it out, so, like, you know, and, like, have intrigue and blah,
so,
blah, blah.
Yeah, you
but,
have that did they, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did she, you know, like, with mine, you know, they just kind of went and yeah. she killed him. And you're like, okay.
The thing with yours, though, like, knowing what happens in the next few episodes, like, I know what, like, I want to say stuff to you that hasn't happened, but I don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
But, like, in this one, I'm like, I just feel like, other than the fact they're just going after to prove that the Cardinal is the one that set it up, you know, like, it just doesn't seem like they could have stretched that out more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But whatever. That's just me. Michael.
Yeah.
So, what was your show?
I had Sherlock.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yes.
And
I didn't want to watch it. Because I don't want to watch anything BBC for some reason. I don't know why. I'm just like, fuck it.
But it's got Smaug in it.
Yeah, it had a Hobbit and a Dragon in it. And you're notorious for hating both of those.
I don't hate dragons. I hate certain movies that have dragons in them.
And Hobbits.
And I hate... See, and that's another thing. I think my comments in the past has led people to believe that I hate...
Peter Jackson?
Lord of the Rings and Peter Jackson. I don't hate them.
The fact that you've said that you can't sit through and watch them.
It's not because I hate them. It's because the movies are way too fucking long. Like, ridiculously too fucking long. And it irritates me because watching it, I'm like, well, this didn't need to be in here and this didn't need to be. And I'm not one that's like, you want to compromise story for it? No, fuck that. That's not what I want to do.
There's a lot of story.
There is a lot of nothing in those movies, too. A shit ton of nothing.
It's story.
It's not story.
You want to know something really funny?
What?
There's a lot cut out from the book, too. There's a lot of stuff they did not have in the movies that were in the books.
Well, like, why?
Just imagine that. You think there's a lot of stuff they needed to cut out?
But there's actual... Hold on one second. I got to let a cat out.
But, like, the whole thing is, like, there's a lot of stuff... Like, story-wise, that goes on that didn't actually happen in the movie.
No.
And there's stuff they added into it to make things so they could bypass things that happened in the book to go along with the movie.
So it actually was an abridged version of the book.
So think about that shit. Yeah.
Well, in that case, that movie doesn't need to be made then. I don't know.
Anyways,
again.
Let's reel it back.
Okay.
Sherlock.
Okay, again, I didn't want to watch anything BBC. I don't know why. I've never watched anything on BBC before. And I don't know. I was just like, I don't really want to watch this, so I never watched it. But I was given this, and I watched the first one. And I liked it so much, I didn't really have time to watch the second one. I watched the second one and was late to what I was going to do. And it, yeah, I was way off schedule. It threw me off for a couple days. but it was awesome. I liked it a lot. One thing that I noticed, like, right off the bat is it's not, and I asked you this earlier, but it's not American TV. And you would think it would be kind of the same, but it's nope. Really not. Like, you, and take accents out of there, you could have put all American actors in there, and I would have been like, something's different with this, because it's shot differently. Mm-hmm. It's the timing of it is way different. It's timed out, and it's not even timed out like a movie. And that's why when I came here, I asked you guys, hey, does this shit have commercials? Like, but because nope. There's no pausing for it. Like, there's no, like, when you watch American TV, even if you watch it on Netflix, you know when a commercial happened. Like, you get to that point.
They're slowly building up to something, and then suddenly it just cuts to black.
And then usually after a commercial, especially on sitcoms,
they'll recap a little bit.
Yeah, it'll kind of go back in time, like 3 seconds, and reshow that last part, which is weird when you're watching, like, on Netflix. But you know when every commercial break happened. This one, I was like, I can't, like, there's no, like, pause in the momentum of the story.
Mike's like, I gotta pee so badly, but I can't stop watching.
No, that wasn't it at all, because I could have just paused it. It was just weird trying to get the blocking and the timing right. Like, I
you were expecting something that just wasn't there. Yeah.
And so once I was like, okay, this is kind of weird, but whatever. And it took a while to actually get to Sherlock himself. I think it was, like, not, like, a long time, but I think it was, like, 12 minutes or something like that.
I'm trying to remember the first episode, but yeah, they set up a lot more.
Yeah, it was all setting up Watson stuff. Yeah. Like, giving you, and they did it in a clever way to kind of give you all the background you need on Watson, but without actually saying, this is Watson, this is what he did. So, like, you know, he got injured in war. You see him having nightmares. He wakes up. You see him go to his desk. There's a gun in his desk. He's got a limp. He's walking with a cane. You see him at a therapist too. So you kind of go through everything. You're pretty much caught up on Watson, like, bam, right from the get go. And then you run into Sherlock, and then Sherlock starts doing Sherlock things.
Well, I think with that too, is what they're establishing is, like, the sane character. Like, this is a normal person. Cause then you're introduced to Sherlock, who is not normal at all.
No.
Especially in the show.
Yeah. And then I was also kind of wondering, like, halfway through the episode, okay, is Sherlock gonna be, like, a dick all the time? Like, but no, he's not. He's got redeeming qualities to him. But, like, the first half of the episode, you don't know if he has that or not. And I don't know anything about the show, and I know the show is, like, 5 seasons in or something like that. Or whatever. So I know people listening to this have seen it. They're like, oh, yeah, he's awesome. But you don't know from the first half of the first episode what kind of person he is yet, other than all his crazy detective stuff. But then he plays it. Benedict Cumberbatch plays it really well. He plays it funny. There's obviously a lot of the same qualities that you'll see Robert Downey Jr. play, just because it's the same character that they're playing.
Yeah.
But he plays it different enough, and I can't really decide if it's more lighthearted or comedic.
No, the movie was more lighthearted and comedic.
Well, no, I know the movie is, but I think it's more subtle comedy with Benedict version of Sherlock. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is it's funny though too. Like, there's a lot of humor in it.
Yeah.
But not enough to make it, like, go, oh, this is a comedy. Like, it's just enough to keep it moving and keep it.
It really fun. Does. Because I don't remember the early episodes all well. I need to go back and watch them. But it does slowly devolve into the, you know, they're two friends. And so they just, you know, that's the type of humor that they have. Eventually what you see in the movies with Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr. Not to that extent fully, but it does slowly get there.
But, yeah, I liked it. I recommend it. I'm going to get some free time plow through the rest of it.
All three seasons are up on Netflix now, right?
Yeah, all three seasons are up. Yeah.
And, is it continuing? Is it done?
It's continuing. They're going to start shooting, I think, end of next year for Series 4.
He's about to be a very busy man.
Oh, yeah, he is. But they are making plans for Season 4.
They're filming Season 4 next year to be out in 2016.
Does he cut his hair during the show, or does it always look like that?
It's always like that.
That bugged me a little bit right up front.
It gets a little weird.
Because I only know him from Star Trek. It's the only thing I've seen him in prior to this. And I saw his haircut. I was like, that's a bad haircut, bro.
I'm trying to remember. I think he does actually cut his hair at one point, but it's for a disguise.
It's not important at all.
Or if he doesn't.
No, he wears a wig at one point.
Was it wearing a wig?
Yeah, because it's always the same length.
Because I don't want to give away like what happens because he's very neurotic at the end about of it. Series 2.
Oh, it's true.
He kind of it kind of reminds me of
Sherlock Holmes.
No, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory a little bit.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah,
yeah.
Like he's smarter than everyone else, and he knows it. And he calls people idiots, and he's like, "Calm down." Like after he calls him an idiot,
the biggest difference is he understands things.
Yeah, he's more compassionate. That's why I was. You don't know halfway what kind of character he is because I like the Big Bang Theory. I don't fucking like Sheldon at all. He's just a dick all the time. Every episode. He has no redeeming quality. There's very few things that happen.
He's smart. He knows he's smart, and he doesn't really give a crap that everybody
and he's
else. He's
such a dick-ass through the whole series from what I've seen. So I don't like him at all. Like there's nothing to like about Sheldon's character. And starting off, I was like, oh, I hope he's not like that. Because that's initially what I thought. I was like, I hope there's more.
It would be really horrible to run the rest of the show
Yeah, you need to be a little bit more friendly and have some more fun. But, yeah, ends up having it. It's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm excited to watch the rest of it. That's it. So, in conclusion.
what we're doing for next week?
Yes, Cody. Cody's been looking like he was going to say something for the last hour and a half now.
No, I'm good. We're doing so. Okay. We're gonna do Christmas movies.
Christmas.
Next week is the week of Christmas.
Yeah, we're recording this on.
We're gonna hash that out later.
Earlier. So.
Or maybe. No, that would be.
What? We're gonna finish it right now. We have one set ready to go. Cody has what?
Arthur Christmas,
which is an animated movie that got really good reviews.
Apparently.
So we'll none of us has seen it.
Nope.
So. That's the only Christmas movie we could find that he hasn't seen.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And we're going to settle this right now. There's a couple more Christmas movies we have in the chamber that we don't know who gets what. There's Surviving Christmas, Love Actually, The Ref, and what was the other one, Cody?
A Merry Freaking Christmas?
Freaking Christmas.
I say we give Joe the ref.
Okay, Joe, you get the ref.
And I say we make Mike watch Love Actually.
I watch Love Actually.
Yeah.
Not because I want to. It's a good movie, but I would like to do things that you normally wouldn't watch. Not saying you wouldn't normally watch The Ref, but obviously this
but,
long.
But
in life
no,
you
I get what, like I never saw it in theaters.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know,
so like
you said, you've seen it, but you don't remember anything.
I remember seeing a couple of scenes. They're tied up, and Dennis Leary is they're bickering back and forth, and he's just like, "Shut up."
Yeah. You might have just seen like a preview on TV for it.
No,
that's every
you
preview.
You just described the trailer. and then, Mike, I figured Love Actually because I know you wouldn't normally watch it. And you want to watch Merry Freaking Christmas.
I kind of do want to watch it. So.
Yeah.
All right.
So you can still watch that.
So
just
it's
not,
settled.
But it's just not your,
it's not your assignment.
Don't call me names.
You're an assignment.
All right. So that's settled.
Yeah.
So, Cody, you want to segue us to the rest of the show?
There's not a whole lot to go over.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
One of the big things, though, what do you think about Sony pulling the interview?
It's fucking awful.
Like
because
pulling
of the movie.
It or?
Not, I don't want to see the movie.
Yeah,
I don't care
funny.
At all about the movie. But just the precedent that this sets, I think, is pretty horrendous.
It really is.
You got to think, though, like, what happens if those threats came true? They did release it, and like things happened to people at theaters. It could hurt.
No, well, I understand that, and I understand the reasoning behind that, but
at the end of the day, it's a movie. It's not real.
Yeah, and I get that.
I know it's a weird like tightrope you gotta like, but now like any like a precedent's been set now. If there's
enough threats, if there's behind enough
of a real threat, of what's perceived to be a real threat, they're gonna just pull movies now.
Yeah,
like I don't know, man. It seems
the thing that's crazy to me.
It's like say in when Avengers comes out, and for some reason there's a bunch of news on we're gonna attack movie theaters during the Avengers premiere. Are they gonna pull Avengers now?
Well, like, no, because
so what's the point though? Too like what? Like I understand there's no reason for the Avengers to
well, the thing about that though is with the interview, even from the beginning when people first started hearing about it, there was hubbub about shit going down, like North Korea, like raging war because of it and stuff like that. Like that, like it started a thing. Like someone's like, if like the premise for Age of Ultron came out, and a bunch of people who just like to fuck robots are like, no, fuck this movie. You know, we're gonna shut down Marvel Studios because they're making out to be robots to be bad people. I could see like something happening. Like eventually, when it comes out, people be upset. Like this is like crazy because it was a big thing about, you know, people being like North Korea being upset about it, and then like the Sony hack happened, and there was alluding to people that North Korea was behind it. They said no, we weren't, but we're glad it happened. And then like Sony execs getting death threats with their families, and then like this, it's like something is brewing that someone doesn't like about. Not just, I mean, it's got to be something about that movie, but like it's crazy, like what happened with it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like ever since it's first started, like hearing about it, it's like North Korea cares about that much of a movie. You know?
Well, I know. sorry, this is like a big, broad, you know, situation. But what if smaller movies now, independent movies that are playing at Sundance, is dealing with a touchy issue, or like, you know, just something like. How big of a threat does it have to be? How big of the threats, the who's making the threat? Like, what point does it matter enough to now pull movies from
public safety? Being able...
Yeah, but like, where though? Like how? What's to be taken seriously? Like, I'm not.
Well, what's going to happen is eventually, if it starts catching on, people start threatening because of it. Someone's going to go, no, we're calling your bluff, and you do it, and something's going to happen. And they're like, shit. But the problem with this is because the reason I'm bringing up the whole, like, it happened before, because there was such a problem with it from the beginning, it gave them reason to actually pull it. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. If someone, like, when they first announced that Age of Ultron is going to be basically, you know, these human, meta-human people fighting against these sentient robots, and there were people out there who were like, fuck you, robots are good, and they started, like, you know, making hubbub about it then, and then they were saying we're going to do something when it comes out, that would be the same idea.
You know what I think they should do? Is just do
a... Only film it in North... Only show it in North Korea.
Yeah.
Only release it in North Korea.
No, what I think they should do is every time they say... they mention specific names or say North Korea...
They dub over it
with Canada.
Well, did you see what the Draft House is doing in Texas?
Oh, they're showing Team America?
Are they? Yeah.
So every time slot place. That was basically scheduled for the interview to come out next Wednesday or next Thursday.
Thursday because it's Christmas Day. Yeah.
They literally have, they're playing Team America.
That's funny.
That's fantastic.
That is.
It makes me think.
So what is
South Park guys behind the Sony hack? Boom! Boom, I said it!
Thanks a lot, dicks.
Yeah.
So what do you think's going to happen with the movie now? How do you think they release it? Just go straight to video.
It's the thing, though. Do they there. Like what do they do with it?
Because they'd still be released at some point. They're, you know, they're already pulling it from theaters. I mean, they're afraid of it being released.
Throw it on pay per view.
Let people who want to watch it get blown up.
Yeah, you can't blow up like a house in fucking Wyoming. Like it's not going to be pinpointed like that.
Well, because it's Wyoming.
Yeah, but they could still have some sort of reaction against Sony itself.
Yeah, being released at all in general. That's what I mean. Like, do they release it?
I understand that you're saying because there is so much like controversy from the very get go that like that's why these measures are being taken. But it's like it's gonna happen more now. Because now people, I mean, on a smaller scale, we'll take a much smaller scale. Kevin Smith did Red State. What if the Westboro Baptist Church started threatening lives?
They did.
Well, no, no, okay.
But
on a bigger... They never stopped from being released, you know what I mean? But what if they went bigger with it? What if they... The groundswell was bigger. What if the word got out more? What does that never get released? Does, you know what I mean? There's been movies about.
I suppose for that instance, I mean, and for Sony as well, it would be up
again.
To,
it depends
to Kevin
on the
Smith.
Scale. Like it depends on the scale of it. Like they were
so
threatening
a small group of like I don't know, man. It just
no,
seems...
no, it's the same thing. So if West Bass Road Church came out and said, hey, we are gonna inflict violence on people who go see this movie, Kevin Smith would have never played it. That's what I'm saying. It would have happened that way. They are like they're coming out saying things are gonna happen to people in theaters if this movie is released, which right there is public safety, but also can hurt the movie industry because now people be afraid to go see a movie because of it. Like they'd be like other people, like those people would be afraid to go. Like there are people that don't know about it. But a lot of people, because it hit the media, people would not go to theaters that weekend because they would be afraid of being just part of it. Not even because they're seeing that movie. Someone sets a bomb off in a theater, it's not going to take out just that one theater. It's going to be devastation everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It has that weird dichotomy of you know, you're giving in to terrorism, essentially.
Yeah.
But by taking away the movie, you're also, well, you're giving in to the terrorism and you're not allowing for the freedom, which is really what we should be doing, you know.
Yeah,
we are free.
If, like I said, if there was more of a buzz about it before it came down to the thing, like if it comes down to the weekend of and someone's like, I'm going to shoot somebody who goes to see this movie, less likely it's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like less likely they're going to pull that movie. But because of the past of it, like you're saying, if West Bassborough, when they found out Kevin Smith was making Red State, started threatening lives and said, if this movie keeps doing it, eventually, and when it gets to a release point and they say, we're going to inflict violence on people, I think that would change the way they did it. But I don't think it's going to set a precedence unless people start getting way ahead of the time, like, I'm going to murder everybody that sees this movie when it comes out, if it gets made, that sort of thing. It would have to be a large build. If it just starts threatening people, then, you know, it's not going to be a precedent because it's not going to happen as much. That's what I'm saying. Like, when unfortunate shooting happened during The Dark Knight Rises with the dude in Colorado, yeah, movie ticket purchases all over the country slumped that weekend because
of
it.
Yeah, the movie didn't do nearly as well as people had thought, yeah. And that was the main...
And, like, that because of that happened. But, next weekend, again, people went and saw it. Nothing happened to them. So next weekend, boom, it shot up again, right? Same idea would happen. I mean, obviously, when you make a grand-scale threat like that, it's going to have to act. But if it starts happening more and more, then obviously something's going to have to be done. But I don't think it's going to start a nasty precedence... too bad. I mean, it's just there's ridiculousness. There's, I mean, like I said, there's hubbub about it before it happens, before the movie even was even being made. That kind of set this in motion. That's all I'm saying. So I think less of a precedence, more of just a holy shit. Like that's kind of nuts that you want to inflict violence on people who just want to see a movie.
Yeah.
That. You know, for no reason. Like, I could get, like, North Korea's like, I'm going to, you know, we're going to bomb you.
It's like, what are they going to do?
It's like that's just weird. Like, I'm not saying an empty threat, but it's just so weird, like, that is a, like, that movie had such backlash on it. I mean, if you ask me, it sounds, the movie sounds retarded, but.
Again, I don't want to see it. It could be funny. It could be a movie worth watching. I don't care. It's just weird. Like, there's so many other things. Like 30 Rock had a running gag of Kim Jong-un being on the show and being different characters on the show.
But in this case, I don't think it was as wide. Like, it's not a movie, so not everybody's going to go.
30 Rock was the most popular TV show when it was on, you know what I mean? Like, and
but,
I get
but in
it was
the
just
United
a
States.
Small bit, but.
The other premise that, too, is. Kim Jong-il wasn't having his life threatened, air quotes, threatened,
that's
in
true.
30 Rock, where in this one, the movie's about killing him.
No, I get it's different, but it's just like, I don't know. It just seems weird.
I think it's weird that it got to the point where someone is threatening lives because of a movie. Like Joe was saying, it's a fucking movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not real life. It's not like, you know, what do you expect to happen? The movie comes out, people go, oh, that's a good idea. Let's do it. Like,
yeah.
That's not going to fucking happen. You know what I mean? It's not going to change the world because these fucking idiots want to kill the dictator. Like, you know, I mean, it's weird to think that it got that far where, like, actual violence was being threatened on people. That's what I didn't understand. Is like, I think bravo for pulling the movie because of it. Because if something did happen to just one person because of it,
there would be so much backlash. Yeah, dude, people sitting there going, why didn't you pull it? You'd be sued
to the end of time. You know what I mean? But I think it's bullshit that someone nowadays has that power to do that, to stop something. But it's not like, you know, when Titanic got released, someone's like, fuck you guys, you know, my great-grandmother died on that ship. Don't make a love story out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, honor her memory or whatever. That would be like, it's fucking dumb at that point. That's all. It's just crazy to think that would happen.
I don't know. I guarantee you hear a lot more threats from now on about movies, though. Like, granted, it happens already on a very small scale, but I bet the threats are much louder, and not necessarily would they be louder, but I guarantee you news outlets will run with them now. And while how in the past they probably wouldn't have, or you know, it'd get mentioned somewhere, but then it becomes an afterthought immediately. But I guarantee, because that's what the, you know, media news outlets do, they want to hype up on the fear machine. So if they get something like that, now that this has happened to a big budget studio movie, if it happens to a low budget, you know, indie movie now, that's going to get, you know, a semi-wide release or New York, LA, Austin release, something like that, I guarantee you, you'll hear more about it on the news than you would have in the past.
Well, this is interesting. So, it was just updated that CNN is reporting that investigators have determined that the hackers working for North Korea were behind the Sony hack, and that the announcement from the U.S. Justice Department could come as early as tomorrow morning about it.
Tomorrow morning being the
18th of December.
Interesting.
So as of right now, Sony Pictures has canceled the December 25th release, of the interview.
And then I read they had no plans. So they didn't know what they were going to do. I'd say just throw it on video on demand. Like,
yeah.
Yes and no.
So does it just get shoveled away until, like...
Until something comes, dies?
Like,
well, you know, or actually does get an interview, if you know what I mean. It's one of those things where if it gets released, something could still happen. There's a threat of if this comes out and people see this.
But what's the, you know, if it just gets released on, and I understand I'm trying to get into the mind of crazy terrorist type people. But if it gets released on VOD and you could just download it, like, where does that threat go now?
I would say back to Sony.
Like,
yeah, which means they will do something to the studio itself, like physically to the studio.
And I think a lot of the concern on Sony's side as well is in the whole leak, everything got leaked, like their addresses, phone numbers, stuff like that. So a lot of these threats that have been happening have been personal threats to actual employees of Sony.
It's crazy. Like, I understand why they pulled it. Like, I completely understand, because it is such a big threat. But, like, at the same time, now I'm just thinking, like, man, what else is going to get pulled now? Because, like, I feel like I said, more things might not... I don't understand there's not a movie every, you know, weekend about killing somebody that's currently alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know it's not like that, but I just feel like now that you've done it, I feel like it's
going to happen more. I would just hope that the scope of this one is just so large. You actually have a country is the people, you know, that supposedly hacked in. And I would assume that it's probably people from that country that are making the threats. So when you move into a smaller scale, I don't think it'll be as effective, you know?
Yeah. I think that's where it falls apart is the fact that I don't think it's going to set a precedence because there's not enough of any one thing being like, there's right. no, like, there's none of that buildup. Like I was saying, granted people will still say something like, I'm going to, you know, whatever. It's just not going to have the same effect as something like this because of A, the content of the movie and B, the buildup to the whole thing. Like, that's what makes me think that this is more of a single event than something that's going to happen a lot more.
But, yeah, I don't think a lot of things are going to get pulled. But, like I said, I think now you're going to have crazy people see this happen.
And think that and they think can
like they will be it. Able
Oh, yeah, to it's going to happen. Pulled. And it's going to be some idiot going to, you know, now, film himself doing it and get arrested.
Now that this has happened on a big scale, like I said, the news outlets and stuff, I think, will run with these threats and stories more that are probably happening now. And are just kind of getting brushed away because they do happen now. But now it's like, okay, so does one time an indie movie gets released and someone had made a threat about, I'm going to kill everyone who goes watch this movie. And let's say he does the Colorado thing, opens up fire in a theater, and it happens. Like, that's what I'm thinking about now. I'm like, what if one crazy dude says like, oh, or like they did it, why can't I do it? But actually follows through on a small level threat. Like, what happens to the movie industry at that point? And I understand it's very unlikely, and I understand it probably will never happen. But what I'm wondering is what happened if that does happen,
or happens more often.
No,
because you could still have the smaller cases. We already started with. Unfortunately, what happened in Colorado,
yeah, which and did then, affect stuff,
right? But that, yeah. But then, you know, the next person, it happens and it happens and it happens. You know, what happens after that?
My big thing, though, if you look, this is by like the interview thing is like by far the craziest, like the highest of I could ever imagine it.
Yeah, yeah.
But think what would happen to Jodie Foster with Taxi Driver, where the dude like went and tried to kill Reagan.
Yeah.
Like that dude took it upon himself to like, it's not the same direction. Like people aren't being threatened, like public aren't being affected or being threatened at a theater, but it's the same idea as like someone tried to kill the president of the United States for something he thought Jodie Foster said to him in a movie.
Like, yeah. Well,
there's crazy people out there.
Even on a smaller level, you go to music. There's people who have actually killed people.
Yeah.
Because of what
the interpretation,
heard. Yeah, yeah, their interpretation of rap music or crazy like Marilyn Manson music.
Yeah, so it's not. I don't think it's gonna be a thing where it's gonna shut down the movie industry because music industry didn't get shut down for that reason. In anything, if you go back and look at it, Marilyn Manson's sales went fucking through the roof.
Yeah,
yeah.
The ICP sales didn't go through the roof. From that
well.
Guy.
You know why, right?
Yeah, it's ICP.
Yeah, it's and people are like, no. We're not mistaken. We're not missing something in it. It's a complete tragedy that happened because of it. But I mean, if anything, it's not going to be like there's not going to be enough of it. It's what I'm trying to say. Like it's not going to be a big enough thing. Yes, there will be threats made. Media is going to blow it out of proportion because some lunatic on his blog that three people read. And more people repost well, because of it.
The thing
said
you have
something.
To look at though is movie going is already a smaller endeavor than it used to be. It's not as important anymore. The ticket sales are down, even
year
though,
after year.
Yeah. And like I know the money keeps going up because that's the tickets keep getting more expensive, but the amount of people that are going to the movies keeps going down. Video on demand, indie movies is kind of hurting it because you can get all your options, you know, in the comfort of your home. I'm thinking like I said, I understand it won't shut down the movie industry, but I think you're going to hear more. It's going to get reported on more. And I think some crazy people are going to follow through on it now because it's getting so much more news attention.
Oh, of course.
And so now it's like I said, again, I understand why they pulled it. I'm not mad that they pulled it. I'm just like, fuck, what's going to happen now? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm not mad that they pulled it at all. But I'm just curious as to...
It does set a precedent.
This is... whether it gets noticed or not, this kicks into motion a series of events that will lead to more threats, more violence, probably, I think. And I don't know on what scale it will, but it does kick stuff into motion now.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's going to happen. I mean, it's everything like this does, unfortunately. But I don't think it's going to be enough to shut, like you said, to shut the industry down by any means. I just can't believe it's come to something like that.
Really. We're going to get to a point where, like, metal detectors at the movie theater and shit like that, like,
weird security stuff. Guards.
Yeah, like, always there. On a lighter note, when I worked at the movie theater and Get Rich or Die Trying came out, they had a mandatory 2-cop minimum at the theater all day
for the first 50, weekend. That was the 50 Cent movie.
Ah, okay.
I'm like,
Joe's so white, doesn't this? Remember what that was.
Yeah.
I was like, why does this movie get, like...
Yeah, you didn't see, 8 Mile getting that kind of treatment, huh?
Because people aren't scared of white people.
That's right. Only thugs.
Only thugs. That was weird, though, seeing that, like, as I was working there. I'm like, why is there 2 cops here? And why is there 2 cops here tomorrow and the next day? What's going on? And they're like, oh, it's for Get Rich or Die Trying. Like, I never would have thought, like...
You're like, it's a movie.
It's a movie about semi-based on real-life events about a drug dealer who gets shot and turns into a famous rapper. I'm like, it's really not, like, a gang movie? Like, why is this... I was confused, but...
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
Of course not.
There were, like, 2 cops here.
Yeah. Thank yeah. God. Yeah, that seems weird, though. I didn't think that that would be the movie to spark a violent outburst out of people. So
that's very true.
Anything else?
Unless they finish watching it, it's like, you're going to give my money back.
Awful!
I want money back for the popcorn I bought, for the soda that I bought, for the ticket that I apparently bought. Yeah. I blacked out, so I couldn't believe I was actually in the theater watching this. But... Yep.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So that wasn't a very fun conversation.
Nope. Thanks, Mike.
We could end on something a little bit more fun.
Yeah, like what?
Go. So would you go see a Star Wars stage play?
Yes? Depends.
No?
I think...
One directed by...
I think you just said, I think I already have.
What I was going to say is like...
One directed by Jason Reitman?
That had some credence to it. The only problem with that is, like, what? No, I don't think I would.
Anyway, so there's just a casting news that Aaron Paul got cast as Luke Skywalker in Jason Reitman's staged reading of Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Reading.
I think
it's weird, right?
I wouldn't travel to see it.
No.
Like, I wouldn't go to L.A., you know? Or if I lived outside of New York, I wouldn't go to New York to see it.
Something like that, though, wouldn't like lend itself very well
to a stage play.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not
get a sword fight out of it, though.
Yeah, but at that point, just call it Romeo and Juliet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, not saying that Star Wars is Romeo and Juliet, but
you
what I'm saying,
pissed off a bunch of fanboys.
Fuck them.
It's a completely different story.
It's a space opera.
Yeah.
But what makes it different and hard to say, you know, move over to stage. Let's look at, you know, the Spider-Man one.
Oh.
Deaths and injuries aside, it just doesn't sound like a good idea. Like, if you say to me, hey, we're going to pretend to have these laser swords and people who have machine parts in them, yay, that doesn't lend itself well to stage. For a movie, like sci-fi-wise, yes, it does. But, like, if you said to me, hey, they're going to do a stage production of Princess Bride, I'd be like, fuck yes, I am in.
That movie the movie and book lend more towards that type of production, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, but if you, like, well.
I want to see, like, how do they do the dog fights and stuff? Is it just, like, a bunch of guys with cardboard?
No, it's like, what it's going to be is, like.
It's not a junior high school.
No, so what it's going to be is it's going to be dudes dressed in all black outfits, like, leotards, with literally, like, an X-Wing out, like, on them, like, around them, and it's gonna be, like, on a stark black background with, like, a hanging Death Star, like, just
circle cut. It's gonna look like the end of Forgetting Sarah Marshall when he's doing the puppet Dracula show.
Literally, and so it's gonna be, like, they're gonna do that, and then off on the side, they're gonna have these dudes in these cutouts wearing like the X-Wing helmets, acting like they're in the cockpit, like talking, doing things. Obviously, you can't have the people like dressed as the black talking because they're the ships, and like doing those things where like, hey, what's happening? We're gonna go for the trench, like this. You know, it's so bad. Like,
But the thing that got me the most is actually about the casting. Like, never seen Aaron Paul in anything else besides Breaking Bad. I know that he did Wanted.
Van Wilder.
Was he in Van Wilder?
Yeah, he was the drunk guy that at the party.
Oh my god, I never
noticed
that.
When Van's dad shows up.
I love that movie.
Oh, the coolest fucking dude ever. Like that's Aaron Paul, yeah.
But like I have that image of him as Jesse Pinkman and that how he talks in that show. And then like go to Luke Skywalker and you're just like, what up, bitch?
what up, my Mandalorians? Yeah, that's not good.
And I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, but I don't think he's gonna ever recover from that show. Like he's never gonna do anything else.
He played it so well. Well,
that's the problem. He's
typecast into that show and possibly that role, unless
like
he gets something else.
Like he's not.
He's almost like Michael Chiklis too. In a way.
I would apply it more towards that.
Everyone.
Same thing.
He's
a good Shield. Right, but that's because he got typecast as Shield. He was actually really good in the Fantastic Four. I think the casting and stuff for the Fantastic Four was pretty spot on. The acting was good. The story was absolutely atrocious.
We'll disagree on that for forever. But
he's been in other stuff. I just can't think of it.
None of
it
good though. Like that's the point. Like that's
and
the
that's
point
why
I'm
I brought up
make.
Michael Chiklis. Everyone's like, oh, Michael Chiklis is going to be a huge star, and then he came out and he did things like Fantastic Four, which to me looks like him just trying to do something different that wasn't the Shield. But it's like, dude, bro,
no, that
do something similar to the Shield. Why? Because you were awesome in it. And why not stick with that? The problem with the Jesse Pinkman is you don't have those characters in a lot of things. No. Like it's very rare that kind of thing happens. I think Aaron Paul is a good actor.
Yeah.
I've seen him in like Van Wilder. I did not see Need for Speed because
that's what it was. Need for Speed.
That's what I'm saying. That's the first thing he does right out of the show. He does Need for Speed.
But
and, like I get it.
But to Cody's point,
it's
very close.
To that type of character.
But he does what I'm saying though, not character aside, is I'm saying he like right away starred in a shitty movie.
Well, the thing was though, if you think about it, that movie, haven't seen it, so I don't know what it's like. Could have like on paper poised to be one of the biggest movies ever. Reason why. Very similar to Fast and Furious, and that shit makes money hand over fist.
Those movies are shit.
Aaron Paul's coming off the most popular TV show on network, on any TV channel ever.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how many TV characters that popular make
you're
the
saying
transition?
this in the after fact.
The
like,
other
after
guy,
once,
Walter White?
Yeah, once we saw trailers for it, you're like, fuck, the movie's going to be awful.
Yeah.
But, like, on paper,
no, I
that
understand.
Thing sounded legit as fuck. So to him, I guarantee you his agent's like, bro, I got you, bro.
Michael
like,
Keaton's in
bro,
this shit.
Bro, listen to me, bro. Fast and the Furious without the Fast and the Furious. Huh? Huh?
Like, but no,
it's not
but,
that fast. It's not that furious.
But it happens so much that, like...
I do agree that it's more rare to have somebody go from the TV side to the movie side and be successful.
It's not even that. It's Well, what Mike's trying to say is, like, look at your content. Like, grasp. And that's why I said about Michael Chiklis, look at what you're going to go do. Like, you're saying he is a bad boy and a criminal in Fast and Furious and in Need for Speed. The problem is he's not the same type of character.
He's not the druggie
because,
in it.
Yeah, because Jesse Pinkman, the character Jesse Pinkman, was never a good guy.
No.
Even at the end of the show, he tried. And he's never was the good guy. I want to keep saying Fast and Furious. In Need for Speed, he was the good guy who was in a bad situation. He was in it because he wanted to get revenge for them killing his girlfriend or fiance or wife or whatever it was. What my point is, Michael Chiklis was fucking poised to be the next like cop guy that you find in those things. The problem with it is, where do you go from after the shield? What do you try to grasp onto? To Mike's point is, that's exactly what you need to do to stay relevant. Yes, you were the biggest star on TV and the biggest TV show on TV, but look what you fucking chose to do after it. Look what you tried to get it. You know,
because you go for the home run, dude. Hit a couple singles first. Be who? Okay, on Friends, arguably one of the most popular TV shows in the
of
last,
all time.
Okay, but the most popular in the last 20 years.
Oh,
right?
Easily.
So, out of those people that were on that, who's had the best career since then? I know the answer, and you're not gonna see it, but it's Lisa Kudrow.
Has had the most success?
Yeah, in terms of critically acclaimed, her show was a huge hit. It got canceled, but it's coming back. It got canceled because HBO went through a weird transition.
Well, no, because didn't HBO pick it up from somebody else, though? Because it was on a different channel before, right?
No, I think it was always an HBO thing. I'm blanking on the name right now. The Comeback.
Keep going.
The Comeback. Yep. She did The Comeback. Was critically acclaimed, right? It was HBO, and at a time where HBO wasn't as big as it is now or widely available as it is now. Then she does smaller stuff. She did, the smaller movies and stuff like that. But she's managed to stay working consistently. And granted, she's not a huge star, but she did the Web Therapy show, which is hilarious on, I think, Showtime.
That's what it was. I was thinking it was the same show. Showtime had
Showtime had Web Therapy.
That's
that,
right.
That was after.
Because I thought it was the same show, but you're right. That's what it was.
And she had she went directly into like not indie movies too, but she had a good run of smaller movies that did good. They weren't huge blockbuster hits. But she has been the most well-respected, we'll say, actor out of that group. Because everyone else, I mean, you could say...
Matthew Perry almost was starting to make it, but he had that big drug problem.
Well, the drug problem was resolved when he got done. He would have been great had they not canceled Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, right?
Yeah.
That TV show would have gone on for a long time if it didn't have the writing issues that it ran into. But then he does a series of awful TV shows and awful movies. Matt LeBlanc, bunch of awful movies. I mean, he did Lost in Space and Charlie's Angels.
But think about this, though. They gave that motherfucker his own spinoff from the most popular TV show in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And
because spinoffs don't work anymore.
Well, no, not even that. It was so drastically different from Friends that it was never going to work. Like,
yeah.
The studio's David, like, we got to do something.
Yeah, David Schwimmer's biggest thing has been voice acting.
Directing, actually.
Well, yeah, he's directed, but... like,
but it's still working for
him. His biggest thing that he's actually performed in was Madagascar. It was the series of Madagascar. And nobody ever looks at that and like, oh, man, David Schwimmer killed it. You know what I mean? Like, Jennifer Aniston's had...
He played the giraffe.
Yeah, I know. He played the giraffe.
Jennifer Aniston's been in the biggest movies, but also the worst movies out of them as well. Like, she's been in really good ones and in a bunch of awful ones. But she's the one that turned into the biggest, like, movie star out of the group. But that's what I'm saying, though, is, like, TV actors... very rarely do they hit a home run with the first thing they do after the TV show's done. They usually do something awful. Usually.
Well, and I agree with that. That's why I said they're it's very.
But that's
rare
what
that
I'm saying. Like
you
have to take the ego out of it and be able to say, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this half-assed remake of Fast and Furious.
Let me put it this way: you can't always blame them.
No.
No. Yeah.
It comes down to the same thing. If a movie comes out that's awful, a lot of people blame the director. Unless they're not very well known, and then whoever the biggest star in is, they blame them. It could be the same thing as, like, they have representation that literally talk them into these things.
No, yeah, I get that too. But, like, that's what I'm saying, though, is if you take a step back from it, and what's the smartest thing to do this day and age if you want to make good movies? You look at the best writers and you look at the best directors. And you try to get those spots. Like, I've heard rumors that certain I can't remember the guy's name right now, but he had a popular TV show, and he wouldn't audition for stuff at that point anymore, and he basically passed on what was good movies because they weren't just offered to him. You know what I mean? Like things like that. So like that's, I think if you're a movie star at this point, don't do what Will Smith did and do a movie with
M. Night Shyamalan
at this point. You stay away from him as an actor, especially an actor with a name.
I'm pretty sure studios are staying away from him.
Let's just, on that little topic, let's hit that for a note. So that whole thing was Will Smith's fault. And yeah. I'll tell you why. So Will Smith, up until that point, had done everything. He's done essentially a sci-fi slash movie with Hancock. Not a great movie. Entertaining. He had Men in Black, that sort of stuff. I think he literally was trying to go for his Hollywood bingo card and be like, hey, the last thing I need is some dude who's trying to make his comeback. I'm going to do a movie with him. So he blacked out his bingo card for sure. Yeah. The problem is not the way he wanted to do it. Like, no. You want to go with a guy like, hey, you know, Tom Hanks hasn't had a good movie in a long time. I'm going to hitch my star to his wagon.
Yeah.
Nope. You pick M. Night Shyamalan. That's your fucking fault.
Plus,
you put your fucking kids in it, which is a tried and true bad move on his part anyways, because he listens to his fucking dumbass wife, who apparently has the most tricky vagina ever because she fools him into doing whatever the fuck she wants him to.
What a twist.
I'm just saying, that's his fucking fault.
No, and I get that, but like, why are actors doing movies with certain people? It's because they're friends with them, or they falsely think that it's going to be a big hit.
Paychecks and some kind of black magic done in the
How
in
many
the
movies
agency.
Come out that we think are going to suck that end up doing well after you see a preview?
Very few.
Very fucking few of them, okay? So that should tell you, like, instantly, if we could watch the trailer for it and know it's going to be a bad movie, like, there had to been so many. It's common things. It's the actors that are in it. It's the writers who wrote it. How many times did it get rewritten? And how many writers bailed on it? And who the fuck's directing it? And who passed it up first? Because usually those movies have a director that would have been good and said, no. And they give it to fucking Brett Ratner or something like
You're
that.
You're missing a big one on that, too.
What?
Editing,
yeah.
Because I haven't seen it yet, and I want to watch it. But there are movies, when you watch, like, the director's cut, you're like,
such different.
That made so much more sense.
Yeah. The Punisher comes to mind with that.
Yeah, exactly.
The Thomas Jane Punisher.
Yeah. You watch the director's cut, which is right behind Mike.
Or even Richard Donner's Superman 2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
His cut, so much better than the theatrical version.
If no one goes back and watches some of these movies, you have to understand one thing. The editing is the most crucial part of a movie ever. And the editors do not get the fucking credit they deserve.
Most of them should be, the best ones should be directors.
Yeah. The problem is they're good at editing. So, yeah. You know, they don't have those people skills. They have storytelling skills for sure. And that's why Kevin Smith does all his own editing, because he doesn't want someone coming in to ruin what he visualized. You know what I mean?
He knows what the story is. He knows what plot points need to happen in order to, for it to make sense.
Yeah, I can't see a Peter Jackson or a Steven Spielberg or someone going, hey, I shot this movie. Here you go, guy in a studio I don't really know. Here's all the footage.
Go
make
ahead
the
and just
movie.
Splice that together for me.
But I guarantee you that happens at studios all the time, because they find the cheapest, the place to cut the money the most. And it's like, hey, this guy Mike has edited toothpaste commercials and olive oil commercials. Let's give him the next Jackie Chan movie. Because something in those two things makes me think he knows karate action. He does karate, right? Yeah, it's fine. Whatever it is. He does the kick things with the punches. Yeah. Mike got it. He's got it.
I miss Jackie Chan movies now.
It's true. Super Cop.
Like pure Jackie Chan movies. Yeah, like Super Cop or...
not like...
Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah,
that's
a good
one too. Just the credits when he's like all injured and they're showing him like, oh, fuck,
I love usually
up.
The best stuff. Yeah.
What was the one where he broke his foot jumping off onto a hoverboard?
Rumble in the Bronx, or was that?
No, there was
Rumble in the Bronx.
Was it Rome of the Bronx?
And when he jumped off the bridge onto the boat, right?
Onto the hovercraft, and then he had to wear that like half cast, and then they put the sock that they drew on his shoe.
They cut a sock to put it around and made it look like the shoe he was wearing. So like, and they told him only they only shot him from one side so they could hide the foot as much as possible.
Nice,
yeah. But yes, like to Mike's point on what we were actually talking about, you got to look at what you're taking after you have a big role like that, because you are like. You're it's pretty much a guarantee you're gonna pick wrong, but I think it's not just them. They have agents that work for them that
they're
find them projects.
They're trying to capitalize on them being the hottest. But that's I think the biggest mistake. And obviously I'm not in it, and I know everyone is trying to get them to do whatever's gonna pay the most and whatever they think the highest payoff is. But if you look at people who've done this in the past and made the smart decisions, and you know, kind of backed up a little bit, said, let's do this. It's a really good, this indie film's getting, is going to be good. It's got a great script from a great writer and a good director is doing it. I want to be a part of this. You know what I mean? Like those kind of choices is what leads to long-term success in showbiz. You know what I mean? Those are the kind of choices that, and you could try for your home run later on. You know what I mean? Like I guarantee, like, it's going to be harder to get offered leads. I understand, like, lead roles don't get offered to everybody. That's why you see so many of the same people in movies every year. You know what I mean? But there's a different route to get to it, man.
Yeah. So don't Michael Chiklis your career.
So if you are in a popular
actually,
TV
though,
show.
But to Mike's point, he came. I was looking at his filmography, and he went backwards then. He's now doing a lot more TV shows, and he's on American Horror Story.
Yeah, yeah. Because he didn't make good movies, and people are like, well, I'm not going to put him in stuff because the movies he made, those are awful.
Like, and it's, and
but he's going back to what he... he's in TVs. I have never watched American Horror Story, so I don't know what his role is.
He's one of the freaks in the freak show. But he's the strong man, I think, is what it is. But what I'm saying, though, is... He's trying to bounce back with TV where he started from, but he's not going back to where he started from.
No.
He's just back on television. You know what I mean? If he showed up on I don't know, some fucking cop Blue Bloods or something where he's like, he was that, like, the gruff cop, then I'd be like, oh, okay, he's definitely trying to come back. But when you show up as the strong man in American Horror Story, Freak Show, or whatever it's fucking called, is it Freak Show?
But it could just be, I don't it's know. Freak Show, it could just be a fun project for him. You know what I mean? Like, there's.
Granted, but I mean, the thing with me, if I was Michael Chiklis, I'd look at it and go, hey, that's cool. And you know what? I'll do that. But I really need you to, like, to my agent, like, I really need you to find me something that's going to bring me back to people going, oh, yeah, Michael Chiklis. Not the guy from Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, like, I want them to go, like, I want people to go, oh, he's just trying to do the Shield again. Fuck yeah, I'm trying to do the Shield again. Why? Because that made me famous as fuck.
Yeah.
Even with my ass
Emmys
on camera.
Emmys and great ratings and 5-year run. Like, that's what
pussy
I'm looking
and blow.
For.
It comes down to the fact, am I going to get offered pussy and blow? I'm not going to take either. Wink, wink.
I need both.
But what I want is the opportunity of someone going, hey, bro, here's some pussy and blow because you are the biggest guy on TV right now. Let's do this.
Like what it's like I've always said, everything in life comes down to pussy and blow. And whether you're getting it or paying for it, you don't want to be paying for it.
It's like a Christmas gift. You may not like it, but it's nice to be offered.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want to offer me pussy and blow, I'll be like, you know what? That's cool, bro. Not for me.
But I appreciate
it. But thank you.
And then when I walk away, I'm like, real quick, let me get that pussy and blow.
Oh, the camera's off? Yeah. I'm going to do pussy while doing blow, and I'm gonna do blow off that pussy while I'm doing blow from that pussy. If you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, it's nice to be offered.
And then when you're done doing the pussy and blow, you can go get a poor man's spaghetti together and have a nice life.
The difference is, you would probably think the poor man's spaghetti is the best thing you ever ate because Coke will fuck you.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just saying, kids, good luck trying to come high as fuck on Coke. That's all I'm saying. Boom. All
and
right.
Good luck trying to get pussy if you admit to eating poor man's spaghetti, because that's not going to happen either.
That's probably true.
Nobody listens
and
to this. You're fine.
Mike's holiday present is going back.
Is it? Are you able to tell UPS just to return that one thing?
Where are you at? You're in Fresno? Just turn around.
Turn around.
I'm good.
Yeah, that motherfucker died, so we don't need that
no.
one. Yeah.
I don't even want the money
in
back.
Fact, burn
I just
it.
Don't want him
in fact,
to
have I want that, you to hop fact, out of your car, your truck, whatever you have right now. I want you to light a match and just burn that motherfucker.
Make all your deliveries except for that one, then crash that motherfucking truck with that in it. You can jump out unless you're crazy. But just what I'm trying to say is destroy that package because he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Or I can just give it to Cody. Cody
That's
will like
understandable.
It.
Oh, I get both?
Double present.
Yeah,
double
fuck
present.
You, Mike. I get both.
Yeah.
Oh. Joe's like, ah, joke's on you. It's the same fucking thing. You have two of them.
It'll be the first time you have two of something.
Don't look over there.
Don't look at the two absolutes of Watchmen.
First off,
is it just two? No, it's not.
Oh, no. He said absolutes of Watchmen. I only have two of absolutes of Watchmen.
Oh, that's true. Two absolutes and then one deluxe edition.
We do. Don't look over here.
Don't look over there. Where all the other Watchmen
are. Actual hardcover editions.
Don't look in the long boxes.
Oh, yeah, that is paperback.
Yeah, don't look for the actual issues that I have of the same book. Yeah. So
we went long.
We did.
Yeah, fuck it.
It might go long.
Hey, they got all their money's worth.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. $3.99.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No tax on that shit. We're like Oregon without the dirty hippies or the hipsters. So it comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
And I'm Cody. And
Merry Christmas songs.
So
Merry
go
Christmas
fuck yourselves.
Merry fucking Christmas. Merry